Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Human Performance Outliers podcast with Zach Bitter. All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Human Performance Outliers podcast. This is part two of a four-part series episodes that I am doing that are focused on the training cycle and nutrition inputs that I follow when preparing for an ultra marathon race, which for me is usually going to be peaking for something similar to like a 100-mile distance. So keep that in mind as you think about like the order of operations of how I do these things in the training cycle and the nutrition inputs that I use for them. If you didn't listen to the first one, which was the off season, I do encourage you to go back and listen to that, at least the beginning, because I do kind of highlight some aspects of this training or this podcast episode series that I'm doing that may be helpful in better understanding this episode and the following ones. But for this particular episode, we're going to dive into what I call the base building phase of my training in nutrition when preparing for ultra marathons. All right. So base building is the time of year where I'm kind of looking at two things, two main things anyway. One is I'm trying to get my training back to where I'm hitting some of the volume targets that are more typical in the kind of the meat of my training cycle. So I'm coming off that off season where I may have had like very little inputs on days where I'm not very motivated, where I really feel like I need the rest and recovery. And I'm starting to really add the running related structure back to my training. So I'm sort of pivoting from, all right, the running side of things can be there if I'm feeling motivated about it, but they're not usually structured. And a lot of times I'm pivoting to other things that are would be considered maybe cross training, and any real structure that I have in the off season is going to be likely more laying the foundation and the repetition with strength work and mobility and things like that into, all right, this is a phase of the year where the running returns in a structured manner and we're really ready to go and looking to kind of build up and attack whatever the next goal is. So the way I like to describe the beginning of this is it is sort of kind of holds on to a bit of the off season in the sense that I'm not going to get right back to where I was in the middle of a normal training cycle. I'm going to spend some time working back up to it. I believe that this approach, for me anyway, allows me to have a shorter off season because it's more of a gradual reintroduction into the structure of running versus an extended off season. And then from a timeline standpoint or an excitement standpoint, I'm like really wanting to get right back into the middle of things. I like to give myself like usually a training block of like 3 to 4 weeks where I'm kind of spending some time kind of like easing back up to some of those like volume targets that I would maybe typically hit in the middle of a training cycle in the beginning of this. The focus inputs though are going to be pretty consistent throughout this phase. I'm going to have one main one that I'm really targeting, and that's what I call my base intensity, which is why it's the base building phase. So for those of you who are not familiar with the way I kind of like term and use this thing, it's basically what I mean by base building is like my heavy focus is going to be on like zone two work or the ceiling at which I'm going to try not to exceed, at least not on a frequent basis, is that aerobic threshold. The way I look at it is like if I want to maximize the amount of volume I'm able to spend at or below my aerobic threshold, I want to make sure I'm not extending beyond that for meaningful amounts of time because that's likely going to come at the expense of additional base work. And right now, that's my primary objective is building back up the amount of base work I can tolerate from a volume standpoint, as well as the pace at which I'm able to move at it. So kind of the efficiency within that. So my base building phase is partly doing that structure, adding that stimulus back, and then also monitoring where that is falling relative to where I've gotten in the past so that I can get a signal of when I'm ready to kind of exit this phase and enter the next phase of training that I'll talk about in the next episode of this series, which is a speed work development phase. So what this usually ends up meaning just for me at the personal individual level from a historic standpoint is I'm usually going to get up to like maybe 10 to 15 hours per week of running during this base intensity phase. Like I said, I'm going to be working my way up towards that. And then once I'm kind of getting up to that where I'm consistently able to hit 10 to 15 hours per week with a big bulk of that being at that zone two base intensity, that's where I'm kind of like, okay, I've got that in place and now I can start considering kind of what's next. But the other piece of that component too is how fast am I doing those miles? So for example, let's say I work up to that where I'm in between like say 10 to 15 hours per week at that base intensity, but my pace is noticeably slower than it maybe was historically at that intensity when things like the course that I'm running or the route that I'm running and the weather and all these things are optimized. If I'm still a ways off from that, if I can help it from a timeline standpoint, I'd like to sit in this base phase longer and wait for that pace to adjust and come back down to where it usually is at its best before I start considering adding in the speed work development phase. Another way to look at this is like most people, myself included, usually have a certain amount of time per week that you can dedicate towards training. So once I've maximized that time at that zone two base intensity, it's time to start watching to see if that pace is dropping. If I get to a point where that's sort of plateauing, where it's like I'm sort of just redoing the same thing over and over again and nothing is really changing, that's another kind of signal that it's time for me to move on from that base phase. For some numbers that for those of you who are interested, historically in the past, when like things are like perfectly optimized, where like I'm feeling pretty fresh, weather's perfect for running, the course is like just optimal, so maybe even just like a track. In the past, I've been able to get my base intensity down to like a low six, and at times I've even peaked just under 6 minute mile pace at this intensity. Like I said, those are optimal conditions. There's no hill climbing in that pace. The weather's not blazing hot or anything like that. So there is a little bit of a balance there in terms of like what time of year it is. Where, for example, let's say when I was living in Phoenix and I was in a base building phase in say like January and February, which is just like perfect running environment. You'd have these like spots where I could get on the canal path where it's just like a straight shot running. It would go underneath the road, so I hardly ever had to stop. Weather was about as perfect as you're gonna ever get for running. You know, something like that, that's probably a scenario in which I'm maybe going to see that like really faster pace, relatively speaking, at my base intensity versus where I live here now in Austin, where, you know, even during the winter, there are some days where I could maybe go like one for one in terms of running quality in terms of the weather here, but it's less consistent. I'm more likely to see like a range of humidity and things like that. The routes I have here in Austin are oftentimes different unless I'm hopping on a track too. So to some degree, it's not a perfect one-to-one comparison. So just kind of knowing that about yourself in terms of like, where are those markers that I want to try to hit based on the routes I'm running and the weather and the climate, where those kind of fall and how they range from like one area that I've lived versus another. And the, like I said, the weather and things like that are important. So like here in Austin, I'm not going to get down to a spot where I'm consistently running that fast at my base in most cases, just due to the environment and the terrain and things like that, that I'm doing here. So it is a bit of a moving target, but you, like I said, a lot of times in those type of those situations where, you know, there is a variance there. And if I have a hard time necessarily knowing like for example, like the first year I was here in Austin, I'm learning a lot of this stuff as we go versus like coming in with a prior experience. In that scenario, I'm much more likely to be thinking about it from the lens of, okay, I've got some consistent volume put into these routes. I'm hitting that 10 to 15 hour volume mark. And am I seeing improvement or not? So when I kind of go back and I like break down the data from my runs, am I still seeing over time? So weeks, not days, weeks. Am I seeing a reduction in this pace still, or am I seeing a plateauing? If I'm seeing a plateauing, even if the pace is a little bit slower, assuming it's something environmental like weather and course and things like that, that could be a signal that I've actually reached that same spot as I was before in more optimal conditions. And it is time, if I want, if the timeline is appropriate, move on to the next phase of training, which would be that speed work development phase. Here are some discounts and promos for the HPO sponsors. Delta G Ketones has 20% off with BITTER20 promo code, and they also offer free consultations to help you assess how their product would best fit your lifestyles. Head to DeltaGKetones.com. Element Electrolytes has a free sample pack with purchase and satisfaction guarantee, meaning if you don't like it, they will give you your money back. No questions asked. And you don't have to return the box. Go to drinklmnt.com/HPO to get that free sample pack and try out all their flavors with your purchase. John G Apparel has 10% off with promo code BITTER10. Check out their AFO shorts if you're in the market for a new pair of running or gym shorts. That's janji.com, J-A-N-J-I.com. S-Fuels has a 15% site-wide discount. Go to sfuelsgolonger.com. All links, promos, and discounts can be found in the show notes as well as every episode landing page. This one is a fun time of year for me. I really like the base building phase. It's kind of a part of the sport I like because it's also an intensity that I think is really interesting and important for ultra marathoning. A lot of times I think of kind of like the base intensity or the top end of that top end of zone two is sort of like the red line for a lot of the longer ultra marathons, where like if I'm doing a 100 miler or something like that, like the odds of me pushing above my aerobic threshold for any significant amount of time and having that work out well for me is really, really low. So I always get really interested in this because like if I'm going to do a very controlled event, like a track ultra marathon and things like that, the pace at which I'm able to run, my base intensity, and then the volume that I'm able to tolerate at that intensity is a very important marker for me. It's one that I'm very interested in improving, and it's what I would almost kind of consider like a similar to like a race pace intensity if I were doing something that were a little shorter, like one of the Olympic distance races, peaking for those like 5Ks, 10Ks, marathons, and things like that. During this phase, I'm also kind of continuing with the strength work and the mobility stuff. That's going to be something that is very consistent year round. I maybe dove a little bit deeper into that phase or that side of things in the last episode. So if you're interested in maybe a little more context around the strength work and mobility, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that episode because I'm not going to just necessarily repeat all of that stuff. But I am generally speaking working at keeping that in there and targeting probably 2 lower body sessions per week and then 2 upper body core sessions per week that follow some of those lifts that I mentioned in the off-season training. One thing I will start to do though is I'll start to add a little more variance to some of the strength work to this, or add some more options that I would likely stay away from during the off-season. And that would be like a muscular endurance training for strength work, where I have a muscular endurance routine that I like to do that I usually will introduce for the first time in the training cycle during the base building phase. And that will be a kind of 4 movement circuit that I'll do. It's 6x10 repetitions. And those movements are 6x10 box steps. So 10 reps on each leg on that box step. And then I'll do 6x10 jumping squats, 6x10 jumping split squats, and then 6x10 forward lunges. And that's again each leg. So it's like any strength work program where like you can increase the difficulty of that by shortening the recovery time between those sets, or make it a little bit easier if I'm having a hard time. Let's say I haven't done it for a while because I'm coming off the off season, I decide to do it for the first time, and I'm just like trying to avoid a scenario where I paint myself into a corner and I take some quality for my next running workout because I went a little too hard on those. I'll give myself a little bit more of a buffer in terms of a recovery time between those. But usually, 60 seconds between those is ample. And if it's something where it's like one leg at a time, then I'm more likely to be able to pivot back and forth between those. There is some progression I will do with this. It's unlikely that I will hit the progression during the base building phase of this, but I can also do things like add a 7th or 8th set to those movements, or if I do that and then still want more, I can add some weight by like picking up some dumbbells by going like maybe 10% of my body weight or 15% of my body weight with some extra weight through those movements as well. So there are some nice progressions that you can use for that. But usually what I'm thinking about with those type of things is start easy, because you can always add another session of it sooner than you normally would if you go a little lighter than you needed to. When you go a little harder than you need to, that's where you find yourself in a situation where you're stealing from tomorrow or compromising your running workout, or at the very least likely pushing off the next opportunity to do that strength session. So those are the scenarios which sometimes would put me into a position of, instead of being able to do 2 lower body sessions that week, I got to stick to 1 because I overreached in 1. But then my overall volume spent at those strength work movements I'm focusing on is actually lower because I bit off more than I could chew on that first session. In terms of just like how I look at this pivot in training from off season to base from a nutrition standpoint, this will be a part of the year where I will start to kind of look at bringing back a little bit more carbohydrate off of what I did from that prior off season. And some of that is just the relative increase in energy and energy expenditure. I talked about this a little bit on the prior episode, but you know, the off season is my lowest energy output time of year. Whereas base building, that starts to ramp back up. And at times, especially if I've got, say, a strength work session and a little bit of a longer base run or something like that, or I've got a long run on the schedule in here, then, you know, I might be getting up to some of those higher energy output numbers that I'll have over the course of the year. And I need to meet that with my nutrition. So it also is a part of year where I am from an intensity standpoint, I have more of everything, including that. So I do end up bringing my carbohydrate up a little bit higher than I do during the base. So I kind of exit like anything that would resemble on paper looking like a strict ketogenic diet to something that I would put more kind of comfortably into like a lower carbohydrate input from a nutritional standpoint. And that also does allow me to introduce a few more food options that I was maybe avoiding during the prior training block due to their carbohydrate concentration. So from the list of stuff, I do add to some stuff. Some of this will be repetition if you listen to the first episode, but some of the inputs that are pretty common for me, again, not an exhaustive list, but things that show up on my grocery list over the last 13 years often enough that I felt like I'd put them on the list for this episode, include coconut oil, olive oil, canola oil, sunflower oil, butter or ghee, lard or tallow, full-fat salad dressings, fatty cuts of beef, pork, and lamb, chicken, turkey, preferably with the skin, fatty fish like salmon, whole eggs, bacon and sausages, organ meats like liver, full-fat cheeses like cheddar, brie, mozzarella, heavy cream, sour cream, full-fat yogurts, kefir, which is a fermented yogurt, milk, usually it's a 2% milk or something like that, cream cheese, coconut milk, the condensed version with the unsweetened stuff that you use for like making a curry, almonds, macadamia nuts, pecans, walnuts, chia seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds, pumpkin seeds, leafy greens like spinach, kale, and Swiss chard, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, zucchini, cucumbers, asparagus, avocado, eggplants, bell peppers, berries like strawberries, raspberries, and blackberries, potatoes of all kinds, beets, honey, apples, melons of all kinds, sourdough bread, and coffee. So as you probably noticed, especially near the end of that list, those started to bring back some of those more like carbohydrate specific options that I'm going to have a little bit more of during this phase of training than I am during my off season. And in terms of kind of what a sample day would look like from training during this, one that I pulled out from the record is from the training standpoint, it was a 90-minute base run and my mobility routine. So for this particular one, I got up in the morning and I did the 90-minute base run. And then later in the day, I did the mobility routine. And the mobility routine, it was the ankle rotations that I talked about in that first episode, the dorsal and plantar flexion movement, the hip mobility move with my right leg on my left thigh raising up for 60 seconds and holding there, the static ankle dorsiflexion where I'm lying on my back with my feet braced up on a bench and a yoga block in between my feet and then pulling back in that static dorsiflex position. Again, sitting on the bench with the yoga block between my knees and pressing inward is a movement that I'll start adding to the mobility routine during this phase. The movement where I'm focusing on shoulders, where I'm sitting upright with my arms wingspan out and just rotating forward and backward with those shoulder rotations. And then finally laying on my back, legs 90 degree angle up against the wall where I'm using the outside of my foot as kind of a hinge to flex my hips open and closed. I'll do that for about 3 minutes for that case. Again, I have that detailed a little bit more specifically on the first episode, but I also have it up on my Instagram page. If you go to @ZachBitter, it's actually one of my pinned reels if you're interested in seeing the visual of that mobility routine. But that sample day was that 90-minute base run, and that mobility routine were the inputs from a training standpoint. From a nutrition side of things, what I had that day was I had some ground beef, 7327. It was an 8 ounces of that. olive oil, 10 teaspoons, macadamia nuts, 2 ounces of those. I had 8 ounces of 3.5% fat kefir, mixed berries, 2 cups, avocado, 1 cup mashed, beets, 1 cup, Brussels sprouts, 1 cup, cucumber, 1 small, yogurt was plain whole milk yogurt, 1 cup, scrambled eggs that was with 4 large eggs, 1 cup of 2% milk, 2 ounces of salmon, 2 ounces of sharp cheddar cheese, 1 ounce of honey, an S-Fuels Life Bar, and coffee. And the totals for that day came out to 3,551 calories, which were 145.9 grams of protein, which came out to 16.5%, 122.4 grams of carbs, which came out to 13.7%, and 266 grams of fat, which came out to 67.5%. In terms of the target ranges that I'm normally looking for during that phase of training, like I said, they're coming up a little bit from the carb input, from the carb input side of things. So approximate targets for carbohydrates start to get up above 10%. It's kind of more like a 10-15% intake. Protein is still around 15-20%, and then fat is around 65-75%. Those are some kind of target ranges that I'm typically falling pretty close around during this phase of the training. All right, folks. So that's the base building phase. This one is a little bit more kind of less variety, a little bit more kind of cut and dry, but a little more structured than the off season for sure. But by the time I get to the end of it, I'm very much looking forward to the variety that entails the speed work development phase. So as you'll see on the next episode, the speed work development phase is one where it offers a lot of that variety in what I think is a fun phase of the training cycle, because it keeps me excited, gives me new targets to focus on, new like benchmarks to try to hit, and things to kind of get excited about on the more day-to-day, week-to-week basis versus always just thinking about that end goal or that race outcome that you're trying to prepare for. As a way to thank the listeners for helping me grow this podcast over the years, I'm going to continue a raffle option for all of you to have a chance to win a free consultation with me. So it's a 30-minute consultation that I will raffle off once per month. All you have to do to enter is share the episodes that you enjoy on whatever platform you find most interesting. The only thing I ask you to do is, if it's a social media channel, make sure you tag me so I see it and can save that and enter in the raffle. Or if it's somewhere else that you can't tag me at, take a screenshot and send that to me at hpopodcast@gmail.com. You can also enter the raffle by writing a show review on your favorite podcast listening platform. So if you do that, take the screenshot, send it to hpopodcast@gmail.com, and I will enter you in that monthly raffle. Also, I'm excited to announce that I launched a new group coaching option. So to go along with my personalized one-on-one coaching options and my pre-made plans that I have on my website at zachbitter.com, this year I'm starting a group of online endurance runners who want to work with me in a slightly different model. So this model is set up so that whether you're a beginner or advanced, you can join. Whether you're training for something like a 5K or something as far as a 200 plus miler, you are welcome, and this setup will help you reach your goals. The way I have it set up is, if you subscribe, you will have access to my full catalog of training plans, which range from beginner 5K all the way up to advanced 200 plus miles. Along with that plan that you're going to use, you will have access to a weekly group meeting where you can ask questions about training. You can ask about adjustments to the plan to make it more personalized to you. You can engage with the other group members if you want. We'll get you all set up and ready to really personalize that plan to make sure that you're heading in the right direction for your event. Also, you will have access to office hours, where if you have something you want to ask and you want to just hop in and ask a question, you'll be given access to that as well. I will be bringing in guest speakers who have a deep understanding of specific topics and things that we'll use to better your training and recovery process throughout the course of the year, as well as a private forum for all the members to engage with one another, share stories, share training tips, and just house a lot of the information that we'll go over on the daily and weekly basis as you're pursuing your race goals. So if you're interested in checking that out, just head to my website at zachbitter.com, go to the coaching tab. From there, you'll be directed to the team coaching option, and you can sign up for that and get onboarded to join the group. If you're interested in keeping up with what I'm up to, please give me a follow on some of my socials. Follow me on Instagram at Zach Bitter, on X, Twitter at ZBitter, and check out the brand new HPO podcast handles, which are just at HPO podcast on Instagram and X/Twitter. Of course, all this stuff can be found quite easily on my website, which is the main landing page for everything I do at zachbitter.com. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Human Performance Outliers podcast with Zach Bitter.